I'm 40 years old, and sometimes I cry like a baby.
Hey everybody, what's up? Welcome to another episode of Pricks on Flicks with Vince and Chris. I'm Vince.
And I am Chris, and we are without Sretton again today. He had something come up, couldn't be here.
Was it Srettonless Part 4, A New Hope?
Yeah, I was Srettonless IV.
IV?
Yeah, Roman like numerals. Four? Like Rocky 4, yeah, the best Rocky
Srettonless
movie.
Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Oh, then we got a terrible show for you today.
Maybe.
But hopefully not.
Hopefully. Hopefully.
But no, I said a terrible show.
I know. I said hopefully. Anyway.
All right. Today we are going to talk about Incredibles 2.
Or talk about The Expanse from last week. You know, it's always interesting when we talk about The Expanse from the week previous, because we record on Wednesday, air on Thursday, but like right now, this week's episode of The Expanse is airing right now, and so we're talking about something that aired 7 days ago. So it's always weird for me, but yeah, we'll talk about last week's episode of The Expanse.
Yeah, and then Netflix original Beirut.
Is that a Netflix original?
I think so. It said was in Netflix right on it.
Okay, well, it was in theaters for a while. I was going to go see it in theaters. Maybe it was one of those movies that aired in other countries or on Netflix, but here it was in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
Like Annihilation did.
Yeah, and then
who's in that?
Beirut?
Yeah.
John Hamm.
An unrecognizable Dean Morris.
Yeah. We'll get to that. Yeah. And also Rosamund Pike.
Yeah. And what else are we gonna finish it up
with? Yeah, and then we will finish the show, other than our third act, of course, with Hereditary.
Dun dun dun. What are we drinking? I got it. The can was literally like inch from my hand. We are drinking a Rheingeist Brewery
Cidergeist.
Bubbles. It's just called Bubbles. It's a rose ale. It's a cider. It's a rose cider. This is from Cincinnati, Ohio, place where I owe a lot of my childhood memories. I lived in Cincy for a while. It's a light dry and a little rose ale with apple, peach, and cranberry for tartness and blush. Bubbles erupt with effervescence. And
it tastes like a rose wine.
It's fucking bitter. Or tart. Yeah. Not bitter. Tart.
What was the brewery? Did you say Rheingeist?
Rheingeist Brewery. Which we've drank Rheingeist in here before.
Have we?
Something. I remember. Don't remember what it was, but it was good.
I want the exact name of the beer.
I could tell you it was a stout.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah. All right. Let's jump it off. What do you think of it? I said I thought it was tart. A little too tart.
It's very tart.
It's too tart for me.
It's okay. I wouldn't want to drink a lot of it, but I can have a glass of wine, but I'm not going to sit and drink a whole lot of wine because I don't like wine that much.
And this is a cider. I feel like it's a little too
dry.
Wine. It's too dry.
Yeah.
Like, I've had some good ciders, but this is just nonsense. All right.
I feel like every time I stick my nose in here, it's like I'm a kid again smelling the blood of Christ.
Yeah, it does. It tastes like a little better than church wine, but church wine is flat. This is bubbly.
Yeah, but like just sticking my nose in it to smell it, I mm-hmm. get that feeling again.
Yeah, I guess you can't smell bubbles, can you? Unless he hasn't taken a shower. All right. Incredibles 2. I saw it today. Chris, you saw it with the family, right?
Yes, I did. All four of us.
You had something to say about that?
Oh, the douchebag in the theater? Yeah, I walked into a packed theater, and we were 10, 15 minutes early.
Can I say, I saw it at 4 o'clock today. It was packed today.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
But it was a packed theater, and we sat in the front row of the back section. So there were, six rows in front of us, and then you got the walkway. And there were, at the end of the row, there were two open seats, then a guy was sitting there, And then there were like five open seats after him. So we go to sit in the five empty seats because there's four of us. And the guy says, oh, I got these three next to me saved. So I'm looking and I'm like, all right, me and my son will sit here in the middle. And then my wife and daughter will sit all the way at the end. And then I thought about it. I was like, I asked the guy, hey, do you mind moving down two seats one way or the other? I mean, you can move towards the middle if you want. We'll sit on the end. And he looked like I was such an asshole for even asking them that. And he's just looking at him. I was like, seriously, I mean, can you just move down two seats so I can sit with my family? And he looks at me, shakes his head in disgust, is like, whatever, and throws his hands up in the air and moves on. I'm like, what a douchebag, asking him to move down two seats. It just really annoyed me. And then the guy, I don't know if he got stood up or what, but he ends up standing up 5-10 minutes later and mumbling F-bombs as he walks out.
Maybe the people that was supposed to meet him realized he was a fucking shithead.
Yeah, said, right.
Fuck that guy. I don't want to see Incredible with him.
As he was walking out, I should have yelled to him, hey, I'm glad you got stood up, dick.
That would have been great. All right. So what did you think of the movie?
Well, I did watch it, The Incredibles, the first one, Thursday night.
For the first time?
No.
Oh.
It was the second time, but I haven't seen it since it like came out in 2004, I think.
Okay.
But, so yeah, I hadn't seen it in so long that when Mr. Incredible started talking, I said, is that Craig T. Nelson? I forgot it was him.
Did you not get the little thing before the movie with the Craig T. Nelson, Holly Hunter, and Samuel L. Jackson introducing the movie?
Yeah, I got it.
Oh.
No, this was when I watched the first one, Thursday.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Yeah. I misunderstood you.
Yeah,
I'm
I was watching the original.
Gotcha.
Thursday night. So I'm glad I watched it again because I hadn't seen it in so long. But I absolutely loved the second one.
I did too. I really, really enjoyed it. I will say that I didn't realize how much I hate Holly Hunter's voice until like I watched it because I've seen the
a little lispy.
Yeah. And I feel like she talks out of the side of her mouth kind of, but not in like a cool way. I don't know.
She had a stroke and
no, she didn't.
I'm trying to make you feel bad.
She didn't. But I just can't stand her voice. That didn't make me hate the movie. I'm just saying, like, when she talked, it just kind of like nails on a chalkboard for me. But I thought that it was a good story. I don't know that Pixar's made any really bad movies. I haven't seen Toy Story 2 or 3. I hear they're really good.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I haven't. I think those are the only Pixar movies I haven't seen.
Got a homework assignment coming up, I think.
Well, I actually downloaded them and I'm gonna watch them. I already planned on it, but I don't think it was as good as their last movie, which I know you didn't like, which is Coco. But
yeah, I turned it off. I really didn't care for it.
I
only got 25-30 minutes in.
I think you should give that one another try. I mean, it is one of the highest rated comedies of all time.
Yeah, I didn't care for it. I didn't laugh once in the first 25-30 minutes.
Anyway, but
on the other hand, the Jack-Jack and Raccoon fight was absolutely hilarious in this
movie. I think I laughed one time in this whole movie, like laughed out loud. I thought it was cute. Like the fight between the raccoon and Jack-Jack was great. But the only time I actually really laughed was when Violet shot water out of her nose. what was his name? The boy.
I don't know what his name was, but
Tommy. I had it pulled up here.
It's probably Tommy. Seems like the typical name.
Yeah, something like
that. It's not important what his name was. The boy she liked.
Tony. Tony Reidinger. Tony Reidinger. When he said hi, she realized it was him and she was drinking the water. Like seeing the water just like shoot out of her nose back into the glass. That was the one and only time I really laughed during this movie.
See, I laughed out loud numerous times during this movie. Even when towards the end of the movie when they were passing Violet and Dash were passing Jack-Jack back and forth and Jack-Jack goes off and he's doing his own thing and Violet finally catches back up with Dash and she goes, Dash, where's Jack-Jack? And he just kind of makes that face. Mm-hmm. I cracked up laughing.
Bob Odenkirk, a new character, Bob Odenkirk, But same reprisals, Craig T. Nelson, Holly Hunter, same people that did the voices in the first one. Samuel. Plus
Jonathan Banks.
Yeah, Jonathan Banks.
Two Better Call Saul / Breaking Bad alums.
Yeah. Sophia Bush was Void. And Isabella Rossellini was the ambassador. So those are the big names, like the really big names. Oh, never mind. Catherine Keener, who's a bigger actress, I guess.
You're still forgetting one. Samuel Jackson.
I said Samuel Jackson.
I didn't hear you say him.
I did, though. Doesn't change the fact that I did. Phil Lamar.
Falls in the forest.
Phil Lamar. Well, if a man says if a man makes a statement and there isn't a woman around to hear him, is he still wrong?
No.
Yeah. All right. So I definitely good family movie. Every bit as good as the first one. It was entertaining.
John Ratzenberger. You forgot him.
I don't know who that is.
You don't know who John Ratzenberger is?
Nope.
Cliff Clavin? You know who Cliff Clavin
yes.
is?
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
But he was in the first one, and it was the same scene. Underminer.
Okay.
It was the same scene from the first one.
Yeah. So, there's a lot of people that, you know, you might know. A lot of older actors, like, people might have to look up Holly Hunter.
They weren't that old 14 years ago when the first one came out.
And Craig T. Nelson was. Coach.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good movie. Take the kids to see it. Apparently, everybody else's movie did fantastic over the weekend. $180 million.
But yeah, you made a post today that you were going to see it, and you said you think you're way too excited for that. And I just commented and said, no, you're not.
Nah.
Because, and then Sretton also commented saying the same thing as me.
Yeah.
No, you're not too excited. You're exactly the right amount of excited because it was a good movie. You should be excited to go see it.
What's the IMDb rating on it?
8.4.
That'll probably go down a little bit. I don't suspect it'll go down a whole lot. We just talked about this off mic. There was a short, maybe about 5 minutes long, Pixar movie before. It was called Bao. I really enjoyed it. So expect to see that. It's just a Chinese-Canadian story. I'm reading that from the thing, the Bao, description? A Chinese-Canadian woman suffering from an empty nest gets a second shot at motherhood when one of her handmade dumpling comes alive. It's a really cute story. I thought it was really cute. I liked it a lot. Now it wasn't anything like The Incredible or Incredibles 2, but it was good. It was cute, and like I said, it was about 5 minutes long. So if you can get to the theater on time, so you can check that out.
Yeah, there were no voices in this. It was just music and animation.
Yep. All right.
All right. Want to go into Beirut next?
Okay, so every year, I think for like the last 10 years since I've been like into the Oscars and stuff like that, I felt like there's always these movies that either come out towards the end of the year that you don't see, or movies that are kind of low key that come out in the middle of the year that are kind of not underground or independent, but they just kind of fly under the radar because they come out in a time where another big movie comes out. This movie, I think, is going to be one of those ones. Now, I'm not saying that this is a movie that's going to win Best Picture or be nominated for Best Picture, but I do think that the movie was very good. It told a good story. It's a fictitious story based on real world events. And I do think John Hamm, we said who was in it earlier. John
no, we
Hamm.
Didn't.
I said, oh. I asked you who was in it earlier.
Oh, yeah, we did.
John Hamm, Rosamund Pike, Shea Wingham,
Lucifer.
And John Pellegrino.
Mark
Pellegrino. And a very unrecognizable Dean Norris.
Yeah, Dean Norris with hair.
Did they say Morris or Norris?
You may have, but it's Norris.
It is
with
Norris,
an M. Yeah, he had hair.
Hank.
Yeah, he had hair in this movie, and it was weird.
It was weird. It looked like a bad toupee, too. Like,
I'm sure it probably was.
Yeah, but I'm
well,
saying,
I don't know about bad. But maybe
I think it looked bad.
Yeah, but maybe in the movie it was supposed to look like a bad
like he's
toupee.
He's a bald guy, but because he was an asshole. So like,
yeah, he was.
But anyway, I think John Hamm might get an Oscar nomination for this. I thought John Hamm's performance in this movie was fantastic. Everybody else just played a part.
I've never seen a Rosamund Pike movie or role that I was just like, not, didn't really like her performance. I like her performance in everything I've ever seen her in.
Yeah, I watched another movie with her recently, that 7 minutes in, or 7 days in Itebi or whatever.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one, but Hostels, she was phenomenal.
Yes. Oh my God.
She was really good in, that was her in Gone Girl.
Gone Girl.
In this one, she was
Jack Reacher, the first Jack Reacher, which it was just like a standard action movie. But I, that was the first thing I remember saying, like, wow, who is that? Like, she's
first thing I remember her from was Gone Girl. But the one she stood out to me in was Gone Girl, Hostels, and this.
And she's very this good one, in Hostels.
This one, she was good. She wasn't bad, but her role didn't require what those other roles required.
Correct. I think John Hamm was, like, obviously, he's the main character. He's what the movie's about. I thought his performance in the movie was fantastic.
Just yeah, it was.
Fantastic. Just, I like I said,
all the acting was pretty good in this movie. Just John Hamm
stood out.
Right, because yeah. He was the central character. And he was the one with emotion in this movie.
A lot, yeah. Okay, so real quick to talk to this movie. This movie takes place before...
Starts off in 68, I believe. Yes. No. 72.
The movie itself takes place in 82.
Right.
Look. Okay, so...
Yeah, because it says 10 years later. So the movie starts off in 72.
Okay. So John Hamm is an attaché that is... he negotiates deals for the government. And they take in this boy who is a Lebanese citizen. And it turns out his brother was responsible for the Munich bombings. For those who don't
know.
In
the Olympics.
Yes, the Munich Olympics. There was a bombing, which is a great movie, by the way. Munich with Eric Bana.
Yes.
Well, that guy was one of the terrorists that did this. And so he comes and takes his brother from John Hamm's home. And his wife dies in the John Hamm's wife dies in the process, which sends him down a downward spiral. He leaves the negotiating business for the government and enters the private sector where he becomes a giant alcoholic. And then
now he negotiates a lot of labor contracts.
Yeah.
And he's an arbitrator.
Yes, basically.
Well, they've talked about him doing arbitration cases and he sits in on contract negotiations.
I did like that scene with the company and the union. Like it was good because I feel like that's how it really is.
Yeah, it looked accurate.
Yeah.
Especially back in the 80s.
Yeah, you as a griever, you...
I've never sat at a big table like that with contract negotiations. I have with local negotiations where you're just trying to – it's stuff that's not covered in the contract you're trying to get agreements on.
Okay.
Stuff that's not covered in your corporate contract.
All right. So to wrap up like the plot synopsis, years later, 1982, so 10 years later – he gets called back to Beirut by the government and says, your friend, who was his friend back in Beirut, who is a CIA operative.
Mark Pellegrino's character, Cal.
We know him as Lucifer from Supernatural. Yeah. He's been Lucifer for what, like 8 seasons? He gets kidnapped by terrorists and is called back to negotiate his release. And it's very important he gets released because... Cal is a high-ranking CIA official who has lots of knowledge, and he is very valuable to terrorist organizations because he knows all kinds of stuff. And so he goes back as in his wrecked alcoholic state to negotiate his release, and that's what the movie's about.
They called him because he was specifically requested by the terrorists.
Correct. And it's I knew why, exactly why, because of how the first scene that plays out, but it will let you be surprised, but I'm sure anyone watching this movie will, as soon as he's requested by name, you'll probably figure out why he was requested by name, but I thought the movie was outstanding. What about you?
Thought it was a little slow at times. I enjoyed it. I don't think it was as great as you thought.
I don't know.
It has a 6.5 rating on IMDb.
I think that's extremely low.
I think it's a little low. I think a solid 7 is good for this movie.
Okay. See, I put it about a 7.5 for nothing more than I thought it was a good story, but I thought the acting, John Hamm's acting, was put it around a 7.5 for me. Like I said,
I agree with you on the acting. I don't know. how great the story was. I thought the story was a little lacking, but I thought John Hamm's performance was phenomenal.
Oh my God. Yeah. Just, there were times where he's, yeah, just reliving moments from that horrible day at the beginning of the movie where his wife is murdered. Yeah. Just, I don't know. Just really good story. All right. Definitely see Beirut. It is on, I checked, it is on demand for rent on Comcast and probably DirecTV if I, and I don't know, is Redbox still a thing? Do people?
I think so.
You can probably pick it up at Redbox. Anyway, it's out on.
I was in Kokomo, Indiana over the weekend and there was a Family Video.
Oh, so you might be, there's still a Family Video in Hobart.
I heard
right
is.
Down, we're in Hobart, yeah. Just right down the street. So yeah.
Because when I pointed it out, somebody did tell me, they're like, yeah, there's still one in Hobart too.
Wow. Well, I guess they probably rent more video games than anything else, if I had to imagine. Like, I work with a guy, and he still rents video games from the Family Video in Hobart.
I've heard you could go to the library and just check out movies and video games.
You can. Well, I don't know about video games.
Yeah, maybe not certain, video games.
But I know for, and full seasons of stuff. I have a friend who doesn't have HBO, went to the library, rented season 7 of Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Like, I think they're a little late on like releases
because
usually they're donations and things like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, go to your library and rent stuff. Yeah, just because any way you can see movies, do it, because that's what we're all about, is taking in this art form. All right.
Now I'm going to throw in a little filler here in between some of our talk
while I pour us another beer.
Yeah.
What do you want? You want that reserve? What do you want?
You want to go with the reserve?
And we'll go with
that
the reserve.
One looks good.
All right.
So. Creed 2 trailer dropped. I'm going to pull it up here.
I must break you.
Yeah, we get to see... We don't get to see Ivan Drago, but we do see his son in the trailer. And we see some Rocky. Tessa Thompson's in there. But we see Creed's... Or Ivan Drago's son quite a bit, who looks like a force. I mean, it's a... Not very lengthy trailer. Doesn't give you a whole lot. But at the end, it does say that Thanksgiving is the release date, which I think is the important part. So I'm pumped about that. I thought the first one was really good. I'm looking forward to Creed 2. Oh,
God. Sorry, I just took a big whiff of this.
Smell good?
Dragon's Milk Reserve.
It's not,
it just smells
this
so...
This isn't Dragon's Milk, is it? Oh, you son of a bitch. I thought you were getting the other one. The one I
bought.
Reserve.
What do you think I was talking about?
Well, the other one's a reserve, too.
Which one?
The one that I bought.
Oh.
The one that I
when I said reserve, I'm sorry. I should have been more specific. We got a couple reserves. Yeah, the Dragon's Milk Reserve. I'm sorry.
Like
we'll
like
drink that other reserve
next.
There's
like one sip in here, though.
Huh?
There's like one sip left in here.
Oh. It was mine anyway, so you're lucky I'm just sharing.
Vince, so what do you think about Creed 2? Are you excited?
I am, because I like the first one so much, and I'm a Stallone fan. Like, I think Stallone was like one of those action actors back from the 80s and early 90s that actually was actually a really good actor. And he actually did get a nomination for best supporting actor for the first one. I don't know how excited I am. The whole Drago thing is kind of, I don't know how I feel about that. Kind of on the nose, but I felt like they kind of maybe had to go there.
Well, I mean, you got Adonis Creed. Out for revenge from his father's death. You've got Victor Drago kind of out for revenge against his father's disgrace at the hands of Rocky Balboa.
We're going to have Brigitte Nielsen and Dolph Lundgren in this movie? Do we know?
Dolph Lundgren for sure. He was not in the trailer, but he is in the movie. I don't think Brigitte Nielsen is in it.
I think she's crazy anyway.
Yeah, she's busy with Flavor Flav.
No.
She was.
She take 15 years ago, yeah.
Okay, I thought you were saying no, like, no. You know, that was a thing.
Yeah, but not anymore. All right, yeah. All right, so Creed 2. Also, I'd like to shout out something. Tomorrow for you guys, Friday the 22nd, Season 2 of Luke Cage. If you're a Marvel fan, don't miss out. The first season was good. Season 2 is supposed to be a lot better. That's what critics are saying who've seen like the first 6 episodes or whatever. So if you're a Marvel fan and you watch the keep up with the Netflix Marvel shows, which are all really good. Some better than others, but Luke Cage is a very good one. And so that comes out tomorrow.
I tell you what, this New Holland Dragon's Milk Reserve is the bee's knees.
It is the cat's meow.
This stuff is delicious.
Is that a good title episode? Title for the episode, Bee's Knees and Cat's Meow?
Yeah, it's not bad. Bourbon Barrel Stout with Cherry Chocolate. Oh, it is really, really good. And I remember a long time ago when I had my first Dragon's Milk, and it's just very, very oaky.
I feel like they stepped their game up and maybe tweaked the recipe a little bit.
I think they did.
Because
this is the reserve, this isn't the normal Dragon's Milk.
Well, you brought a Dragon's Milk in not too long ago. Well, it might have been a long time ago. I don't know. But in one of our episodes,
yeah.
And we drank it, and it didn't taste like the Dragon's Milk that from years before. I feel like they tweaked their shit. Yeah,
it was better.
New Holland stepping their game up with their Dragon's Milk Reserve. It's phenomenal. If you're lucky enough to be able to get your hands on it, it's orange, and this bottle's orange and black, and it's fantastic. The cherry and the bourbon flavor and the chocolate flavor in there are real prominent, like a sledgehammer right as soon as you take a sip. It's great.
Yeah, anybody working for New Holland right now, listen to us pump.
We'll tag you.
Yeah, and send us some free Dragon's Milk Reserve.
Oh, also. Google just released their new app exclusively for podcasts. I highly recommend it. I downloaded it. I searched around on it and looked at it. Very easy to use. You can actually make your favorite podcast, which is gotta be Pricks on Flicks, an icon or a thumbnail on your Android screen. So it's really convenient every time we or whatever podcast you listen to puts out a new episode, it will flash on your screen and let you know. It's a really easy app to use. It's great for podcasts. I know people ask me often, how do I listen to you? And I'm like, well, you can Google us or go onto this app or this app. The Google podcast app is how I'm going to listen to my podcast from now on. I do listen to a bunch, and this is what I'm going to use from now on. I made my little thumbnails on my my second screen, and now every time they put a new episode out, I'll just click on it and listen.
Okay, and today we have a premiere of a TV show, which will be yesterday if you're listening on Thursday.
Yeah.
And it'll be 2 days ago if you're listening on Friday, and we can go on and on with that.
It's last week if you're listening to this next Thursday.
Right. Well, it'd be last week in a day. So Wednesday night, Yellowstone premiered, and I don't know how the ratings go on IMDb with a show that just premiered, but right now it's got an 8.6 out of 10. Yellowstone is airing on what channel? Do you know?
Yes, the same channel that, give me a second to think about it, Paramount. Paramount. It's the same channel that Paramount is the channel.
Okay, but I don't watch anything on Paramount, and I've been seeing previews for this show. At least I don't know of anything that I watch on Paramount. What the hell is Paramount Network?
It's a TV channel. It's
what
a
channel is it?
Like the number? I have no idea. I couldn't tell you. I know only a few.
Do you know of anything on that station?
Waco.
On that channel?
Waco is the only thing that I know of that's ever
been
on that channel.
Maybe that's where I saw the original previews for it then.
Anyway.
Was on Waco.
This stars Kevin Costner. Who's big? Kelly Riley's big. Cole Hauser.
Yeah,
Wes Bentley.
I recognize three names. Cole Hauser, Kevin Costner, and Wes Bentley.
What about Kelly Riley? She's a
no.
Big
I'd
actress.
Have to look into her.
She was in the second season. She was the wife, Vince Vaughn's wife, in the second season of True Detective.
Yeah, I wouldn't recognize her from anything.
Yeah. Everybody else is kind of a no name or. I hate saying no name. It sounds so insultive. But anyway, I believe this is the same people that did Waco, which I think me and Chris talked about Waco every week. And I think that Michael Shannon and Taylor Kitsch will both win Emmys for Waco.
So the plot line for this show is a ranching family in Montana face off against others encroaching on their land. Very vague. But it looks really good from the previews I've seen. And I'm definitely going to go home and watch this.
Did we say Kevin Costner?
Yeah, we did.
Okay.
Breckin Merrill. I don't know who that is. Dave. Anable. I don't know.
Anable?
Sure.
But Kohlhauser, I like Kohlhauser.
Yeah, I do too. I liked him in
Paparazzi.
Yeah, Paparazzi. I just remember watching that movie thinking, this guy could be a star. He's pretty good. I like him. But the movie kind of sucked, but I liked him.
Tom Sizemore.
Ugh. In what?
Who's the bad guy in Paparazzi? Oh,
I thought you were saying he was in Yellow.
No. Gil Birmingham. Old Gil sold another car. Old Gil. Giving up for old Gil. Oh, man. That's a Simpsons reference for people. I don't know why I'm just tangenting right now. All right. Expanse. What a great episode.
Really?
Yeah. More drummer V. Ashford business going on. Drummer's on to his fucking shenanigans. She even said, so there's a lot of tension on the ship between some of the decisions that Drummer is making on the Behemoth. And some people, we know one for sure, but I'm sure that goes deeper. I'm sure that Diogo isn't just coming out of left field. Like, I'm sure he is hearing it from other people. Diogo's saying, you know what? She's not the right captain. You should be the captain. And Ashford tells him, pretty much, go fuck yourself. Show respect. She's your captain. Well, later, Ashford and Drummer are having a conversation. And she says, I know you want this job and you're going to, you know, I'm waiting for the coup any second. And he says, oh, it's not going to, you know, you're paranoid. She goes, I'm sure people are already coming to you. And you know what? You're probably telling them to show me respect and, to mind their own business or whatever. And she's calling it exactly how he's doing it. And I feel like it's coming. Also, get to see a guy get ripped apart by the proto molecule. That was pretty rad.
Yeah, I thought this episode took a long time to give you a little bit of story. I think we got a very little, we got too little of story in this.
Not as much progression, yes. Progression as you would have liked.
Yes.
I can see that. I think I have an idea from reading the books, which I'm not going to spoil anything, but I have an idea of where they're going to stop this season. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. And start next season, knowing me being 8 books into the series and them only being in the 3rd book. I know where they're going to stop. So we have, this is episode 10 or this is episode 11 tonight.
I think we're looking at episode 11 tonight.
Okay, so 11, 12, and 13. I think they're going to save the big stuff for episode 13 and maybe the second half of episode 12.
Yeah.
So 11 might be a little on the same page as 10, but I don't know. Like I said, these writers are fantastic. I can see how you felt like they might be dragging their feet a little bit on the progression. But they are, obviously this is my opinion, they are at least having the common courtesy to give us great dialogue, great character development, and a great story while they're holding back on what the actual thing is.
Mm-hmm. I gotcha.
Which we see that in Game of Thrones. We see that, and we saw that a lot in The Americans. There was, you know, big stuff in The Americans where there wasn't a whole lot going on, but we got great dialogue.
Yeah.
We got great character development.
But as you remember, those episode stretches, we talked about how slow the show has gotten.
Yes.
And we weren't happy with it.
No, we weren't. Me being a sci-fi fanboy, I can definitely admit to when I am being biased, which I am.
And I'm just looking at IMDb here, the picture of Allison Brie from Glow.
I'm excited about that, too. That's not this Friday, but next Friday will be the season 2 premiere of Glow. Did you watch Glow?
No.
Oh, my God.
I like Allison Brie a lot.
Well, you'll definitely like her in the first season of Glow.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Trying up and in the morning.
Nights. Cool. Anyway, by the way, can you have a guess who wrote that little jingle?
I would guess Donald Glover.
Absolutely. Trying up and in the morning. Nights. All right. So the Expanse still fantastic. And I guess in 7 days from hearing this, you'll hear our review of last night's episode. Or tonight's episode for us, but last night's episode for you.
All right. We got to stop doing that. It gets confusing.
It does. What's next?
Third act?
The big one. No, the big one, Hereditary.
Oh, yeah. I forgot.
Let me pull this up.
Yeah, I skipped ahead.
Okay, so Hereditary.
Starring Toni Collette, Gabriel Byrne.
Who I like. I like both those people.
Margot
Martindale. Not Margot Martindale. The one we always confuse her for. Ann Dowd.
Yeah.
We always confuse those two ladies. And
Alex Wolff. What has Alex Wolff been in? The son, Peter.
Oh.
I've seen him in things. Patriots Day, he played one of the Sarnaev's terrorists. That's what I remember him from.
He was in Jumanji.
Okay.
The new Jumanji.
Yeah, but I remember him as the younger terrorist brother in Patriots Day.
Oh, that's a good movie.
Yeah, I like that.
That was a Michael Mann? No.
Peter Berg. Yeah. So back to Hereditary. Ooh, we covered the cast. After the family matriarch passes away, a grieving family is haunted by a tragic and disturbing occurrences and begin to unravel dark secrets.
We haven't talked about this at all. You asked me what I thought, and I told you I liked it a lot. But that was before you saw it. What did you think?
I thought the first hour of the movie, it was a long road to get to a horror movie.
That's A24 for you. A24, the production company that does these movies, that does these like movies. That is the A24 fashion.
Yeah, it was a very long road. It was a long movie.
Character development. Yeah, it was like 2 hours and 6 minutes.
Yeah.
Character development for the first hour and a half, and then your climax and finish. Like it, and that has been almost all. Nice. That has been almost all A24 horror movies, which, by the way, I think A24 is quickly becoming one of my favorite production companies because they hire great people. I want to say first and foremost that if Toni Collette does not at the very least get an Oscar nomination for acting, I will be very disappointed.
I don't think she will.
Why?
Because of the genre.
That's unfortunate. But
I think if the movie would have kept pace with the first hour and gone that like
drama.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then she would. But because it turned into a horror movie, she won't.
Which, by the way, people are saying this is like the scariest movie like in years. I'm watching this movie for like the first hour and a half going, it's not very scary. No. I mean, there's a couple jump things here and there. And then the last half an hour happens and it got really scary.
Dude, I'm sitting in the theater. There weren't a whole lot of people in there.
It was packed when I saw it.
Well, I went really late on Monday night.
Tuesday night. Yeah, you saw it.
Yeah,
last
I went
night.
Really yeah. late on Tuesday night. So, I mean, it's not going to be a packed theater, but there was nobody sitting near me. But at a point in the movie, I'm like, I started looking over my shoulder because I started feeling like people were coming up behind me. I was getting the chills. I was a little freaked out. It
did get scary at the end.
Yeah.
Like very, very scary at the end.
Now, there were also people in the movie theater.
Clicking?
When it ended. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Everywhere people were going.
Okay. So the people who made this movie asked people to please stop doing that. And when I saw the movie, there was these assholes next to me. There were a couple and they were sitting in the middle and they were laying on top of each other. Cause I see it at Portage and all the in-betweens of the seats all fold up. So they were laying down, which it whatever, but, and they're both clicking the whole, yes. And I want to go, you know, the people that made this movie called you assholes, like specifically you, they called you guys assholes. Like I wanted to do that, but at the same time, like, it was a crowded theater, not like really that crowded, but for the middle of the day, it was a lot of people there. I'd say there's probably 50 people in the theater for a 3 o'clock showing. But okay, I didn't love this movie. What's the rating? Is it
7.8?
Right on par where I'd put it. I think it's a 7.8, maybe 7.98. It's close to where I think it should be.
I think that's a little high for me. I'd probably go...
Really?
And when I say a little, very little. I was thinking 7.6.
You know what we should do? We should actually stop with the decimals.
Because
you're not allowed to put decimals on IMDb. The decimals come from the average.
Really?
Yes. When you rate stars on IMDb, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Because I don't know that I could give this movie an 8.
But it's better than a 7?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well. That's why I don't know if I could. I mean,
so you'd have to, that's the struggle, man.
We are more important than your average person rating on
IMDb. We get the decimal?
So we get decimals. Okay. All
right. So I'm saying 8.92. Are we gonna go to the 100th place?
You can't go that high. You wouldn't go up to 8. Almost a 9 for this movie.
I said 7.8 or 7.92 is what I said. Didn't I? Or did I say
8.92?
Okay, 7.92 is what I said. I meant to make a joke and it backfired.
Yeah.
All right. I liked it. It does get. Be warned. It gets frightening at the end. My wife is going to see it tomorrow. Afterwards,
some people are gonna watch this as. Some of the people in the theater with me said this movie gets off the rails a little bit at the end. There were people angry at the ending, saying that was fucking stupid. Which I guarantee they loved the whole movie and hated the end.
I thought the ending was okay. It was good.
I didn't like the direction. I didn't care for the direction. Which turns out being the whole plot of the movie. But you don't realize it until the end.
Which is why I was okay with the ending.
The reveal.
This is what you were watching the whole time.
Yeah, you were watching it the whole time. I don't think I cared for that storyline at the end. And if you saw the movie, you'll know what I'm talking about.
Would you recommend people watch it?
Absolutely.
Okay, that's really what we're going for here is, should you see it or miss it? And I say definitely see Hereditary. If nothing else, if you want to see probably the best acting so far this year.
Okay.
So far this year, I don't think anyone's done a better job than Toni Collette. And I watched The United States of Tara.
You know who was really bad in this movie, though? Was Alex Wolff, the son, Peter. I thought he was really bad.
I thought he was great. I thought he did a great job.
Dude, his crying was terrible.
I didn't think so. I read something and people were talking about people laughing while he was crying.
There were people laughing in my theater.
I find that disappointing. I feel like that's people laughing during The Exorcist. Like when people were like when.
I think there's a difference. People were laughing during The Exorcist because of people didn't laugh at The Exorcist
because it was over
when
the top.
It came out. People laugh at The Exorcist now because of special effects.
Not because of the special effects. They were laughing because of the content.
Some people think it's funny to hear. I mean, I'm
the blasphemy.
Yeah. Let Jesus fuck you.
Yeah.
There were people in the theater when it was re-released. People were laughing at that. I think that's ridiculous. I think people were laughing when he started crying because here you've got this 17-year-old kid that
crying like a baby.
That sounds like it's not just crying like a baby because I'm 40 years old and sometimes I cry like a baby, but I don't sound like I'm 3 years old when I cry. He was very, very high pitched and sounded like a toddler. I'm not saying crying like a baby. I'm saying the sound.
Yeah,
of
no,
the crying
I got,
was
I got
like
what you're
a
saying.
Toddler.
I felt that the crying was accurate for the situation that was going on.
See, I thought it sounded too childish.
Maybe, but I don't think that was him.
Well, I think
he was
it is.
Directed that way to do it.
You think? I think he just. Was a bad actor crying.
You think that if he cried like that, the director didn't like it, he was just like, you know what, you suck at the
actor,
maybe. We'll just have to.
Maybe.
We'll just keep it. No, I think he was directed to make it as over-the-top crying as possible because the situation called for it. That's just my opinion. I wasn't there on set. I feel like the only way that would make it past the director would be like, okay, that's what I wanted you to do.
Now, that was the only bad part I think about him. I thought the rest of his acting was very good. I thought it was the crying that really got me.
And was there two scenes of that, I think?
Two or three. It wasn't many. But now you keep raving about Toni Collette's acting in this movie.
Oh, my God. It was so good.
I loved Gabriel Byrne's acting in this movie.
Absolutely. Absolutely. He was great, too. Like, yeah. As the guy who... didn't really know what the fuck was going on. And then when he kind of figured out what was going on, just wanted no part of it. Like, just, yeah, I.
I thought Gabriel Byrne really stood out as well.
By the way, I just was going to mention earlier, if you haven't seen The United States of Terra, watch that. It's a really good show. Toni Collette really shines in that as well. But I've always thought Toni Collette was a great actress ever since I saw that movie or that TV show, The United States of Terra. They actually mentioned DID. Do you know what DID is?
No.
Okay. She said my mom at in the little group therapy session, the only time you see her speak, where, God, the acting was so good. I keep saying that, but where she's crying, talking about like how fucked up her childhood was. She says my mom had DID.
Yeah, I did. I did hear that. Didn't know what she was talking about.
Dissociative identity disorder.
Okay.
Multiple personalities. Okay. It's the doctor words for multiple personality. United States of Terra is a show about Toni Collette has DID, and it's a really good show. With a really good cast. But yeah, I think, like I said, this movie was very good. The acting is going to be hit or miss for people. But I say the acting, the ending, the ending is going to be hit or miss for people. The acting, if you watch this movie and don't think the acting's any good, like Toni Collette and Gabriel Byrne's acting are any good, you probably shouldn't watch movies. Like, I don't, maybe you might be more interested in like Twilight. Fast and the Furious, Twilight. Maybe that might be
Fast and the Furious, Twilight for dudes. Yeah,
for dudes. maybe those movies might be more your speed, but if you want to see great, like, Oscar-worthy performance and acting, Toni Collette and Gabriel Byrne, fucking grand slam.
Yeah.
A fucking Jason Hayward, bottom of the ninth, fucking two strikes, two outs, grand slam.
Eloy Jimenez.
Did he do that?
Probably.
Well, if you can't go to a specific time when he did it, which he will, if you're a White Sox fan, he definitely will do that eventually. But they hit a monster home run with their acting in this movie. All right. Hereditary. Fucking see it.
Yeah, absolutely. It was as good as advertised, I think.
We talk about this often. People say the only thing Hollywood does is reboots, sequels, prequels, nothing original. This movie's fucking original. It's go see movies like this and you will get more movies like this.
I think that's the biggest farce when people say that stuff. It's because people don't go see the original stuff.
Right.
So
I agree. But when movies like this come out, they don't want to go see it.
Right.
So go see this movie.
Yeah. Next time somebody says all Hollywood does is make sequels and reboots, I'm going to say, did you go to the theater to see Three Billboards? Did you go to see
Bomb City.
Bomb City. Did you go to see
Hereditary?
Hereditary.
A Quiet Place.
Yeah.
All these movies that are original, even the one that we really didn't care for. Well, I liked it more than you did, but the one with J-Law. The Darren Aronofsky movie.
Red Sparrow.
No.
No?
Mother? Yes, Mother.
Yeah.
Did you go see Mother? Well, even if you go see it and you didn't really care for it, you still went and spent money on an original idea.
Yeah, you're promoting originality. You're promoting
originality that's not a prequel, not a sequel, and not a reboot. Mm-hmm. You mean to do that.
But I bet you you're going to see the...
Xfinity Wars.
I bet you went and saw the second reboot of Spider-Man.
Oh, absolutely. Which is good, but...
Yeah, it was good. But I'm not the one saying that Hollywood does is reboot things.
Those people... Yeah, and those are the people that fucking do it. And, all right, we ranted enough. But that's my point. Hereditary is a fantastic original story.
Third act!
Is it?
Yeah, it's time.
Sretton's at home right now going,
it's the third act. Call the voicemail.
All right. Before we get into third, we had a question on Facebook. I pretty much answered it, I thought, to fullest extent, but I was on IMDb here just a second ago, and it said one of the most anticipated shows of 2019 is that Judge Dredd TV show, which is looking for a home, but it is apparently going to be made, and it is going to star Carl Urban. It's called Something City One. Judge Dredd, Mega City 1, if you saw the movie Dread, what, did you see Dread?
No, I didn't.
But that's going
to
be a homework
assignment. I heard for you, in the new one, he's in the TV show, he's going to have two AK-47s that he's named Dez and Troy.
Destroy?
Do you not get it?
Destroy?
Yeah.
Destroy, yeah.
Thor Ragnarok? You don't remember.
Oh, Carl Urban. Yes. Okay, yeah. That's same actor. But I...
Looked like he put out about 80 pounds.
Okay, for the record, on the most anticipated shows of 2019, Judge Dredd Mega City 1 is number one, the most anticipated show. I'm hoping it lands on Netflix so it can be every bit as gruesome and brutal as the movie Punisher. Dredd.
Yeah, but also it could fall in lines of Punisher and stuff
like
that.
You haven't seen Dredd with Carl Urban?
No.
And Lena Headey?
No.
It has the greatest death scene ever filmed.
Okay.
I will stake my reputation as a podcaster on that. It is the greatest death scene ever filmed. All right. Third act.
If I had to name one right now, I would say Charles Vane.
Charles Vane.
Black Sails.
Different death scene, but it is a great death scene. I like. See, I don't know. Because I'm going to give it to you as a homework next week, okay. I think. But yeah, both good death scenes. I like the one in Dread better.
Yeah. Okay.
Because it's in slow motion.
All right. Third act. Bomb City.
That was your homework assignment, was Bomb City, starring nobody really.
Yeah, this takes place in World War II. Not those types of bombs.
Austin, Texas, right?
Amarillo, okay. Texas. It is based on factual events. I'm betting it's a little biased. A little.
I think I told you last week that I did look up a little bit of the accuracy with it, and it's pretty accurate. Some names were changed, but it's pretty accurate.
But a lot of the stuff is portrayal, like just a matter of opinion on how people are treated. Right? And I mean, that's not opinion, but...
The main character's name in real life is Dave Davis.
The main actor.
Yes, the main actor.
Because he plays Brian Dennehy, who was murdered in Amarillo, Texas for looking differently than other people because he wore leather and had a mohawk. And
he was punk.
Yeah. He was killed for that reason.
Yep.
And his... I don't know. Should we get into what happens? Because I didn't know the story.
I didn't even know it was him that died until the middle of the movie. So you already spoiled it. So yeah, we should just get into it.
Yeah, I guess I did. Because
they don't tell you who's dead until the end.
Now that
of the
I
movie.
Think about it, I didn't know that he was the one that was dead. I was thinking it was that the murderer.
Yes.
And I was thinking he was the dead one.
Yes.
But this is not really about the trial. It is a little bit, but it's more about the events that unfolded preceding the trial. And it's tragic story. It's rough. It's about equality. I mean, it's promotes equality and not judging people for
it's about bullies too.
What? Yeah.
But bullying.
Yeah. Don't judge people by the way they look or what the fuck they listen to. Just God, I sound like so generic, but just love everybody.
Let people fucking be, man. Let people fucking be who they are. I can't say it enough.
I mean, the scene when he walks in minding his own business and the guy says, "You fucking faggot."
Yeah, it's fucking ridiculous.
This shit happens.
It does. It absolutely does.
And I did love how not until the reveal of the movie at the end and you find out everything's wrapped up. Everything's done.
Yes.
You know the verdict?
Yes.
Everything. And the camera pans down and that's the first time you know that it's in Texas.
Really?
It's the first time they show Texas on the license plate.
I thought
because I kept thinking the whole time, I wonder where this is. And I didn't catch it until the license plate at the very end.
Okay.
So I don't know if that was a reveal or not, but that was the first time I knew where this story was taking place in Texas.
Great. So this movie was about basically a bunch of punks that
I think we summed it up.
Did we?
Kind of, pretty much. I mean, people should watch this. I don't want to tell everybody exactly what it's about.
Okay.
I want people to watch this movie.
7.0. Do you think that's a little low?
Yes, absolutely.
What would you give it?
I always rate true stories higher, and I would probably go about an 8.3, 8.4 with this.
I'm right there with you. 8.3. I thought this movie should have got like a best original screenplay or a best picture nomination, and these movies go under the radar. And I don't know who directed this movie. Probably a nobody.
It is actually a Amarillo, Texas. He's from Amarillo, Texas. His name is Jameson Brooks. He wrote and directed.
Yep.
Because he was there.
It's the only movie he's ever done.
Yeah, this was close to home for him, literally and figuratively.
Wow. Yeah, he did a wonderful job of like keeping the secret throughout the whole movie.
Yeah.
Like what's actually really going on. Yeah, he did a really good job. I hope he continues to do stuff. Like I'll look out for him like this and try to support this guy. But yeah,
some of the acting in this movie fell a little short, but I mean, it's a bunch of people you've never heard of.
I thought Dave Davis did a good job.
Yeah, I thought he did too. But there were lines in the movie that were kind of cheesy and delivered.
I thought Lorelai Linkletter did a pretty good job. She was the girl, Rome. She played Rome in Bomb City. That was his girlfriend, Brian's girlfriend. God, just if you've ever been bullied, watch this movie. If you've ever bullied somebody, watch this movie.
Okay, I think that's more important. What you just said.
If you've ever been bullied, if you ever bullied, watch this movie. This is the problems that you cause with people. It's a great movie. God, I saw this movie, and the first thing I thought of was, I can't wait to give this as a revisit for Chris.
Yeah, this was a great movie.
Or a homework assignment for Chris.
Takes place in 1982.
That long ago?
I think so.
I don't think so.
Was it not the 80s?
No. It was like 2003, 2004. Maybe.
You know what? I was scrolling down. There's a movie off that said 1982 next to it.
All right. While you talk about my homework assignment, I'll look up and give you the exact year.
Okay. It doesn't matter. Really, it doesn't. But my homework assignment for you, I'm doing something a little differently. I have not seen this movie, but my brother Brian, who has been on the show, every time I've seen him in the past couple months, keeps asking me if I've seen this movie. So I'm giving it to you as a homework, and we're both going to watch it, and then we'll talk about it next week. This movie stars, I haven't said the name of the movie yet, but it stars Danny Glover, Kevin Kline, Steve Martin, Mary McDonnell, Mary Louise Parker. That looks like it's about it for the big names. It's Grand Canyon from 1991. It has a 6.9 IMDb rating.
Okay.
Says the summary says Grand Canyon revolved around six residents from different backgrounds whose lives intertwine in modern day Los Angeles. At the center of the film is an unlikely friendship of two men from different races and classes brought together when one finds himself in jeopardy in the other's rough neighborhood. So that's what we'll talk about next week.
Okay. Can't wait.
I don't know if it's any good. I haven't seen it.
I hope it doesn't suck. But
it's got a 6.9.
Your brother is 1997. 97? 97, when Bomb City takes place. Your brother's pretty good judge of movies and stuff like that. I hope he isn't on the nostalgia kick. Like, I know a lot of things were good when you watched them, and then when you, like, if we watched them now, they wouldn't be that good. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
All right.
Revisit?
All right. So this week, the new trailer for the new Tim Burton movie, Dumbo, dropped. And
live-action Dumbo.
Live-action Dumbo. It looks great.
Is it an animated elephant?
No, CGI, I'm sure.
Okay.
It's not a real elephant.
Okay. They say live-action Dumbo, and I'm like, is the elephant live-action?
Let me see who's in it.
I don't even know.
But yeah,
this isn't our revisit.
No, Dumbo obviously is not revisit. It's not out yet.
It's the Disney Dumbo with the black crows and that represent the black people, obviously. You remember that?
Eva Green is in it. Colin Farrell, Michael Keaton, Danny DeVito. Yeah, I heard you. I just don't care. Lucy DeVito.
Dude, how racist was Disney back then, man?
Wait, the black crows?
Not the black crows, the band. The black crows that were in the Disney
Didn't they represent
cartoon.
The Beatles?
In Dumbo? No, they were.
Oh no, they were the black guys. Yeah, they were definitely the black. What? Oh no, I'm thinking of the vultures in the Jungle Book were the Beatles. They even had the bowl cut haircuts. Okay, that's what I'm sorry. Yeah,
talk about the crows. In
Dumbo. The crows were definitely black dudes. Yeah, that was pretty racist. Okay, so anyway, the new movie Dumbo, the trailer. If you haven't seen the trailer, it looks really good. My home girl, like my love, who's not my wife, Eva Green is in it. Colin Farrell, Michael Keaton, Danny DeVito, Alan Arkin, Lucy DeVito. Wow. A lot of people in this movie. But anyway, it's directed by Tim Burton. And so I asked Chris before the show, I said, hey, can we give my favorite Tim Burton movie? And he said, yeah. And that is Pee-wee's Big Adventure. My favorite Tim Burton movie. I know. Don't hate me. I love this movie. Large Marge. This movie, I remember being a little kid being terrified of Large Marge and all the other stuff.
Oh, when the eyes bugged out of
the
head.
I mean, I was really little when this movie came out. But it stars, you know, Pee-wee Herman, who is, what's Pee-wee Herman's real name?
Paul Reubens.
Yeah. This movie's great.
Was Lawrence Fishburne in this, or was he just
no,
in
the TV show? No, I think he was just in a TV show. Elizabeth Daly, Diane Salinger, Judd Omen, nobody really. Great movie. Somebody steals Pee-wee Herman's bike and he's on a mission to go find his bike because he loves his bike. Paul Reubens wrote this movie. I did not know that. And Phil Hartman and Paul Reubens wrote this movie.
Wow.
I did not know that.
I didn't know Phil Hartman had a hand in it.
7.0, that is way too low. This is a 9.0, easily. This is a fucking 9.0.
7.0 is probably about right.
The stars at night are big and bright. Yeah, exactly. This movie's
deep
fucking
in the
iconic.
Heart of Texas.
This movie's iconic. It's quotable. It's, God, I love this movie. The tequila scene, just the song Tequila.
Yeah. Phil Hartman's in the movie, too.
Oh, I'm sure.
As a reporter.
All right. So, if you can, if you got it on VHS, DVD, if you could download it, stream it. I don't know if it's on Netflix, but I'm sure it's on Hulu. I'm pretty sure. I think I saw it on Hulu recently.
A couple things. Morgan Fairchild, James Brolin, and Twisted Sister also in this movie.
That's awesome.
I forgot about Morgan Fairchild and James Brolin. Not Thanos. Not Josh Brolin.
All right. Okay. So we are on all the podcast apps now, including the one I just said. I talked about a little bit, the new Google Podcast, which is go to Google Play and just search Google Podcast. Download that app. It's a fantastic app. It's new.
You can just go to Google and search Pricks on Flicks and we come up now. You could play straight from there.
You can. But I was saying, like, if you want a podcast app to look at other podcasts as well, ours first, of course.
I'm just saying how accessible we're getting.
Yeah, I mean, I Googled us.
Great. So did I Googled. Of course. Okay. And then, of course, hit us if you haven't liked our Facebook page, definitely go and like that. Give us a thumbs up, whatever. That's Pricks on Flicks on Facebook, pricksonflicks@gmail.com. The Twitters, hit the Twitters up.
Vincent Romero, 82.
And the voicemail number, I'm getting to it. Hold on 1 second. Voicemail number, call 219-649-1071. That is 219-649-1071. Call the voicemail. Oh, I forgot. Did you find a quote? Are you looking?
Yeah, I was actually pulling it up right now.
Okay.
Do you want to do your quote?
Do yours, because mine's much more relevant. Mine's important. Well, philosophical and shit. You got it?
No.
What's it from?
It's from The Expanse.
All right, you want me to hit pause?
Doors and corners, kid. Watch your doors and your corners.
Okay, and now I pumped my quote up, so I'm going to have to tell you who it's from. It was actually in the movie Bomb City, and it was with an interview with Marilyn Manson. And he gives a long speech, but this was the part that really stuck in my head. Is adult entertainment killing our children, or is killing our children entertaining adults?